You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
A major Christian magazine published the startling results of a nationwide poll. 10,000 Protestant clergymen were surveyed. Nearly 8,000 responded. The clergy were asked whether they believed in the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ, the glorious Easter morning event, the basis of the Christian's hope of heaven. 13% of one group of Lutherans said no. Of the particular group of Baptists surveyed, 33% answered they did not accept the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. 30% of the Episcopalian clergy said they also could not accept this basic biblical teaching. Of one group of Presbyterians surveyed, 35% of the clergy said they did not accept Jesus' physical resurrection as a fact. And of one particular Methodist group of clergy surveyed, 51% said they did not believe that Jesus rose physically from the grave. The second question these clergy were asked was whether they believed in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. The percentage of unbelief reflected by this nationwide survey among the Protestant clergy was equally stunning. In Christian charity and with a sad heart, I, as a fellow ordained minister, am ashamed to confess that this survey of 10,000 clergy revealed that up to 60% of the spiritual leaders of one denomination did not accept that Jesus was born in a unique way, that he was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit as taught in the Holy Scriptures. Figures I have just cited are not anyone's opinions. They were published by one of the largest evangelical magazines in the world. With these conditions of apparent apostasy already in existence, further ranting and raving upon the decadent spiritual conditions in our society, by myself, is not needed. No man, including this preacher, has the right to judge anyone. Instead, however, let all things in life be measured by God's unchanging, cleansing, and healing word. Let us, therefore, listen carefully to the writer of the book of Hebrews, that blessed Bible book, which elevates Christ so beautifully, and which also warns in chapter 2, we must pay closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For the Bible says, if the word spoken through the angels proved unalterable, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? These gracious words of warning, inspired by God and given in love, are recorded in the Bible for our salvation. How frightening to realize that you and I can slowly, and even unknowingly, drift gradually away from our spiritual dock and from our lighthouse of salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ. These loving and warning words encourage us to focus our faith squarely on the sin-cleansing death of the blessed Redeemer. Through the bloody stripes and the torturous sufferings of Christ on the cruel cross, repentant sinners are cleansed and are healed from sin. These words encourage us to establish our heavenly hope only and alone in the glorious and death-defeating resurrection of the victorious Savior. Jesus said, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself," Jesus said, "will raise him up on the last day." The inspired writer of our biblical text is encouraging all men, by faith, to grasp firmly onto the saving power of the Messiah. Don't drift away. Oh no, don't drift away. By faith, rather, secure yourself to the only true anchor in the world, the only solid foundation for the certain hope of heaven. Background information for a biblical text always helps. In our situation today, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ had heard the beautiful, conscience-freeing gospel of total pardon from sin made available to all men in the sin-cleansing blood of the crucified Savior. They had continued steadfastly in this fundamental doctrine. But after a time, they began gradually and comfortably drifting away. Oh, yes, the devil was busy at work. His cleverness began to convince some that there might be other ways than through Jesus Christ to gain entrance into heaven. By this terrible heresy, the supreme place of the Messiah as the only mediator between God and man was thrown into question. In fact, some people had drifted so far that they were even erroneously worshiping angels. Now, isn't this amazing? Yesterday's heresy is frequently today's most popular religious trend. Or have you never heard people say, "It doesn't make any difference what you believe as long as you are sincere"? Or have you ever heard anybody casually remark, "We all believe in the same God, we just use different ways to worship Him"? This may sound good, but it is decisively not, I repeat, it is not what the Holy Scriptures teach. No mere man has the authority to effectively dispute these popular and misleading expressions, and yet the Bible provides the answer. The Holy Scriptures shed the needed light, thereby distinguishing between truth and falsehood. The sacred Scriptures clearly teach Christ is the only way to heaven. For this reason, the Bible lovingly warns, "How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation in Jesus Christ?" The pressure in our generation to look casually upon or even to change basic Bible doctrine is extremely powerful. Let us reject, then, all attempts by the evil one of robbing us, our families, and our children of that blessed assurance built on the wonderful completed salvation work of Jesus. The writer to the Hebrews states it succinctly: Jesus is not a symbol of God. He is God in every sense. This is the very heart of the Christian faith. Denying the deity of Christ or not accepting Him as God's highest revelation is the watershed, the determining factor which closes the gates of heaven to many skeptics. Denying that Jesus is God means that then a mere man was uselessly crucified on a cross outside of Jerusalem, and the death of one mortal man can never save the lives of others. For the cross of Christ to have salvation power, it had to have stretched on its cross arms, the open embracing arms of the mercy-filled Messiah. The movement to cast doubt on the deity and power of Jesus Christ surfaces regularly. In the year 325, the Emperor Constantine called together a special religious council. He hoped to achieve a unity of the faith and a common understanding of basic Christian doctrine. 250 of the top Christian leaders of that time attended. They struggled over how to express the faith most clearly. They prayed for the guidance of the Holy Spirit. They checked and they rechecked the sacred Scriptures. And then, with a boldness only the Spirit of God can grant to those who have subjected themselves to the eternal Word, with a powerful voice and on the basis of the divinely inspired Scriptures, these men at the council proclaimed that indeed Jesus Christ is true God, that He existed before the world was created, that He is of one substance with the Father. He is not a near likeness. Jesus Christ is the same substance as the Father, very God of very God. Jesus is true God in every sense. This is also precisely the truth which our text for today so forcefully testifies. Listen to the expressions of the Bible. Jesus Christ is the radiance of God's glory. Jesus is the exact representation of God's nature. The blessed Savior upholds all things by the word of His power. And the Bible proclaims, "When Jesus had made purification of sins, He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high." In our generation of mass religious confusion, and in our era of millions following blindly anyone claiming religious authority, petty religious arguments are of no value. Ecclesiastical dogma has no power to save one single soul. But the doctrine of Christ, that He made total and final purification for our sins, is the central, unchangeable message of hope for our confused world. This radio broadcast is dedicated to proclaim this message and none other. Without it, the future is black. Without the hope of the Easter resurrection, all gravestone epitaphs of hope may as well be removed with a rough grindstone. But the joy is this: Jesus Christ indeed lives within believers. This is why hardened criminals converted to the Savior are so different. Their meanness is removed. Their vengeance is evaporated. The old has passed away, and in Christ, behold, all things have become new. The power of Christ is also for the self-righteous. It is desperately needed by those who consider themselves better than their neighbor, by those who through their upstanding moral life feel that they are acceptable by God. The power of Christ can stifle gossip. The presence of Christ can transform a house of hellish relationships between family members into a home of harmony. Oh, let all patients in intensive care wards of hospitals at this hour be given a solid hope in Christ. He has no beginning and no end. Jesus never changes. Jesus is not the God of the dead. Jesus Christ is the God of the living. St. Paul was referring to people who have faith in Christ when he wrote, "If we live, we are the Lord's. If we die, we are the Lord's. Therefore," St. Paul says, "whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's." These may be your final days on this earth, or even your final hours. Have no fear. Take with you to the day of judgment your best friend. Take with you your Savior, your loving mediator. He will plead your cause before the bar of justice. Our text for today states, Jesus had made purification for sins. Your salvation, then we read, has been accomplished. His sin-cleansing blood shall cover your sin. It shall cleanse you and guarantee you entrance into the gates of paradise. By your calloused indifference, then, or by your needless delay, or by your self-centered and stubborn unbelief, don't forfeit your salvation. Receive Jesus Christ as he comes to you in his word. Trust in him. Live in the Lord Jesus Christ. For heaven's sake, die in him. After Jesus Christ made purification for sins, states the writer to the book of Hebrews, he sat down. By sitting down, this signal that his work was done, totally complete. Never again would he have to be crucified. Never again would further payment have to be made to satisfy the demands of God's perfect righteousness. In days of old, the priests who offered animal sacrifices could not sit down. They were never finished. Their sacrificing had to be completed over and over again. As we in faith see our Savior sitting at the right hand of the Majesty on high, we hear echoes of his victory cry from the cross, "It is finished." Inspired by these three powerful words of hope, the hymn writer James Montgomery in 1820 wrote, "Mark that miracle of time, God's own sacrifice complete. It is finished, hear him cry, learn of Jesus Christ to die." But now let's also listen to this Christ-elevating final verse. "Early hastened to the tomb, where they laid his breathless clay. All is solitude and gloom. Who hath taken him away? Christ is risen, he meets our eyes. Savior, teach us so to rise." And so, my friend, this day in your life, even if you lie upon a deathbed, need not be the end. Let this day be the beginning. Establish your joy-filled future in the Lord Jesus. This day, if you are a child or a teenager, need never be another 24 hours of worry and concern. In your blessed Savior, your future is secure. Jesus is your strength. He is your help every hour. Jesus Christ is your best friend when no one else is with you to talk to. Jesus remains at your side when all others desert you. Oh, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered a horrendous, hellish trial under Pontius Pilate. Jesus died on the cruel cross. He was buried in a borrowed tomb. Easter morning, however, was the moment of truth. The chains of death burst. The enslaving power of sin was forever defeated. And Jesus now stands alone. There is no other like him. Establish yourself, therefore, in him, and sink your roots of faith deeply into him. Your life will be different. Strength shall be given to face every day. And you, by God's grace, shall truly possess the joyful hope of life eternal. May God grant this to you today, in Jesus' name, amen.